live in Lawrenceburg, where we are broadcasting live from the Hollywood Casino Sportsbook. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. You saw the rookie quarterback leading the way for the locals last night. They sure look like they have a bright future. It's time for you to plan for your future as well. The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Condori & Murat, can help you update your last will and testament, set up a trust for you and your family, schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. What an amazing Hall & Oates Tuesday this has been. The very rare, Danny, never before seen Victory Tuesday after a primetime masterpiece.
I don't think we've done many of these together, my friend. The old Monday Night Football into a Hall & Oates Tuesday, because the game mattered so much, because this was more than just a Week 3 win. This was the coming out party. This was the celebration that it might finally be different around here. And that's really what it felt like to me. That was so much fun, so exciting. What an unbelievable game to have been at, man. That was really cool.
Yeah, one of the great games I've attended for sure in now 25 years of going to NFL games. You can count on one hand kind of the memorable gems that I've been at, and last night was certainly one of them. It is time right now for Don't Forget About on Grant and Danny.
Let's not forget
what performances went under the radar and the latest Commanders game.
Why do I always forget that?
And don't forget.
It's time for Don't Forget About.
Forget about me.
Can't forget about it.
With Grant and Danny.
Danny, one thing I think people shouldn't forget about, Nick Allegretti, who was signed this offseason by Adam Peters to come over and start at left guard, where I think he's been extremely solid. He was a backup for the Chiefs, got pressed into duty in the playoffs, started and played every snap despite breaking his arm early in the Super Bowl, if you remember. But he has been very serviceable, probably even better than average at times at guard. But last night, while Washington was moving the football on the first play of a critical drive after the Bengals had pulled to within a possession, Washington was going to extend the lead, and on the first play of the drive, Zach Ertz fumbled in the middle of the field. If you rewatch the recovery, Allegretti comes flying in like he's running a 4-2-8. He slides headfirst like a, you know, second baseman with speed going into the bag for his 53rd steal of the season. He looks like C.J. Abrams before the issues, like when he was still on the Nationals.
There you go.
If I could say that. Going headfirst, he, in one motion, super athletically, grabs the ball.
It was such an athletic play.
It was. He grabs the ball, tucks and curls, and he recovers the fumble. If he doesn't, that's a Bengals takeaway. It's the first turnover of the season. Cincinnati, with all the momentum, has the ball in plus territory. And I would venture to say Washington ultimately loses the game. Do not forget about Allegretti saving the
day. That is a game-saving play. No hyperbole there. Don't forget about Luke McCaffrey, who we saw in week number two was open a lot. We have metrics that sort of that quantify what we were seeing, right? Didn't get the ball very much, if at all, but he was getting open. So he has a couple enormous catches in this game, okay, including a fourth down that wasn't some sort of play action, some kind of, you know, misdirection, this, that, or the other. It was a straight drop back. He works open into kind of that middle layer, makes a huge catch, hands catch, goes down, first down on a drive, continuing massive, massive play late in that ball game. That's awesome for the Rook. He is making an impact. It's not a huge stat line. If I told you he went 3 for 44, doesn't blow your skirt up. But I'm telling you, a couple huge catches in that game.
Don't forget about Noah Brown.
That's my next one.
While similarly quiet, 3 catches, 29 yards, a big 16-yard reception for Noah Brown. Don't forget about the fact that Brown made an outstanding catch with his hands down near the grass, going down to the ground. And he made that reception.
It's a good play.
On what was a low throw, could have easily been incomplete. He saves the day, makes the catch, moves the chains. He would also have a 16-yard catch, I think, later in the game down around the goal line to set up a first and goal from inside the one where he won inside. But that's not a guy that should have been available when he was. You know, the Texans are loaded at wide receiver. So credit Washington being second in the waiver wire. I still think they shouldn't have had the ability to get him, because the Panthers, frankly, should have claimed him. But to have him hit the wire, to have them pounce like they did, already, in my mind, their number two wide receiver behind Terry McLaurin. I mean, it wasn't just free and easy. Like, he was wide open catching balls at his chest for the most part last week. He made a diving catch at one point with his catch radius. But yesterday, that catch was super athletic and a big-time reception. Don't forget that.
Yeah, it's not like he's a slot receiver who's 5'8". It's not Andy Isabella making that kind of catch. That's a big dude who has to go down low. That was a great play by him. Don't forget about Johnny Newton. I didn't love the pick at the time. I think they had glaring needs elsewhere and players that could have fit that. That didn't matter anymore. He's here. He was impactful last night. He played, had four tackles, a couple stuffs at the line of scrimmage, looked the part of that defensive tackle, moved a pile aside. I think there was one point he was double-teamed and was still able to make a tackle for very minimal gain. He was pretty decent last night, so that was a good sign.
Don't forget about the fact that we saw a big man touchdown.
Thank you.
When is the last time the Commanders have had a thick six? You know, a fat guy scored.
Oh, I know, yeah.
I got the answer for you, by the way. It has been since Joe Jacoby caught a touchdown in 1984, the last time Washington had an offensive lineman catch a touchdown. By the way, in games when they have an offensive lineman catch a touchdown, they're 5-0. So maybe that's what they should do in the first drive of every game when they get near the goal line. Because that's how it works, right?
I think it's smart, yeah.
If the offensive lineman scores, you obviously can't lose. So maybe just target that tackle on the eligible. But on that play, and we talked about it and diagrammed it earlier in the day, I mean, Trent Scott was the only receiving option available to Jaden Daniels. It was him or bust. Mm-hmm. If they covered him, then Daniels would have to burn it into the ground or scramble and get out of bounds or throw it away. There was nobody else running a route on the play. What an amazing call by Kingsbury. Supposedly it was a two-point conversion play they dialed up in case they needed it in a big spot.
Well, there's your right down and distance for it.
And he said, you know what? We need a touchdown. This is going to work. Scott knew I got to catch the football or else I'm going to look really bad on national TV. I'm all for the big fella touchdown. And then a great dance as well.
It was fantastic. Don't forget about Jeremy McNichols. Once Austin Eckler leaves the game, and obviously we wish him so well, hope he recovers in a hurry, and he gets back on the field. He is so instrumental, so good for them. Every play, every time he has the football in his hands, something awesome is happening. But Jeremy McNichols, no stat line to speak of, on the huge touchdown to Terry McLaurin late in the game to close that bad boy out. Don't you dare forget about, I'm asking you, don't forget about his blitz pickup where he knocks a linebacker into next Tuesday. It was a smashing block, outstanding play. That's why he probably made the roster as pass pro and those sorts of things. Maybe not great running the football between the tackles. That's not what it's about. Making plays in the passing game, and that includes being a willing and able blocker. Huge moment for him.
Yeah, don't forget about, you mentioned Austin Eckler, by the way. Don't forget about the opening kickoff of the second half for Austin Eckler, where he rips off a return across midfield and gets Washington set up on the precipice of field goal range to start their first drive of the second half. So think about how demoralizing that is for Cincinnati. You know, look, Washington came out on fire. We didn't have some answers. They're up by 8. It's okay. They're going to get the ball. Here's what we're going to do.
We'll adjust at halftime.
Yeah, we got our adjustments. We know what they're doing now. We're going to come out. We're going to get a stop. They're going to go 3-and-out. They got a punt. We're going to go down and tie the football game or get within 1. And instead, on the opening kickoff, they're now in field goal range, and if they don't turn the ball over, which they haven't done all year, they're going to go up 11 at least. They would go on to score another touchdown and to make it a two-possession game. But that return for Eckler, who was cooking at that point, he actually got hurt on his next touch, which is just a few plays later, a 3-yard run to get inside the 10, set up goal to go. He was rolling right along,
yep.
And hopefully we'll get to talk to him later in the week when he's feeling better. It was a shame not to chat with him today, but as you said, hopefully he's healthy and on the mend today. But that return was significant. And by the way, I was just getting back to my seat. So I'm getting back to my seat, and I'm thinking, all right, they kicked off. It'll be 1st and 10 from the 30. And Washington's at the other 30. And I said to Darius, I said, how the hell did they get down there? It's like, dude, Eckler almost broke one. Eckler had the kick return for a touchdown to open the season. They got called back. So he's already in 3 games had 2 monster returns into the other territory. He can do this. I mean, this is a nice find there at kick returning.
I love it. Speaking of, don't forget about Austin Seibert. Nothing sexy here. Made his 1 field goal from 42 yards, but 5 for 5 on extra points. In a game where you're going to need points, because that's pretty much every game, because this defense is going to stink still. But you need to be sound, need to be clear, need to handle all the little things. Major Dallas Cowboys style 64, 65-yard kicks, that's a nice bonus. Maybe one day we'll get something like that. We don't have that now. Don't screw us. If you don't screw us over, we'll have a chance with an offense that can move the football, get up and down, win the time of possession battle, and score points. 5 for 5 on extra points, made his only field goal from the mid-40s. That is important, the hidden stuff.
A phenomenal win, a nearly perfect offensive performance for Washington as they beat the Bengals 38-33 to cap for us. what was an absolutely tremendous trip. And we should thank one more time our buddies Kondori and Murad, the law firm that sponsors this show that made this entire trip possible. But beyond that, it wasn't just that they wanted us to come on the road. I mean, along the way, some of the things they set up, they knew you liked pickleball. So we went and played, you know, 3 hours of pickleball when we got in on Sunday night. You know, they know we're baseball, ballpark marks. They set up a ballpark tour at Great American Ballpark.
So cool.
Which was so fun, and we had such a good time. So many laughs, so many great stories that we'll be telling for a long time, and little inside bits with pictures being sent in the group chat already. But, like, this is the fun stuff. I would just – something I never think about, but as you're listening, like, you got to get with the boys and go on a trip every now and then and go to a game. And you're probably not going to see as good a game as we did, frankly.
Yep.
Not to rub it in your face.
But a little bit in your face, though.
We saw the game of the year, and you're not going to probably.
Yeah.
Unless they somehow win a playoff game in the next couple of years. You're not going to see one that tops this one. But this was a really, really fun time. We got to thank them. We got to thank our buddy Thommy, who hooked us. Absolutely. Thom held up his sign.
thanks
to Thom too. Thom for making it happen here at the Thom's Watch Bar, as we've been calling it, but at the Hollywood Casino Sportsbook for the hospitality. And also having a guy that was in radio, who, like, we didn't have to worry about anything.
Yeah, handled
we
it
knew
all.
Everything would be hooked up
he
and
gets it.
Taken care of, and on, we went above and beyond.
Just he was to, pulling audio for us earlier, too.
I know. Yes, he was. He set up. He sent us a rundown this morning, told us what he wanted to hear in the first segment.
Just the best. But the big theme here is, and it, we're doing shtick, but with Thom and our buddies Kondori and Murad, we don't get to do this without a lot of people helping us.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what
totally.
I mean? Like, it's that, and, you know, of course we're coming to Indiana to the sportsbook that Thom manages to be able to broadcast. Like,
we're just a wee little radio show. I mean, we're down to, I think, market number 9 now in
just
DC,
just a little
right?
engine that could, you know? But it's through, you know, the generosity of folks that obviously have stepped up for us, but also all of you guys out there. And last night's one of those really, really cool things where you go, what an unbelievable privilege this is. What a gift. What an amazing thing to be able to say that I did. And we can't do any of this without you guys.
Well, I was hearing from, like, buddies back home or like, even friends, parents, you know, that I haven't talked to in years, and a couple of former teachers on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and whatever, and they're all like, you must be so happy. They just remember that I used to wear, like, a Chris Cooley jersey on a Friday.
Right.
It was one of those things where the whole story.
I cried when I met Art Monk as a kid.
The whole story in the country right now is that, you know, the Commanders were awesome last night, and they're like, you must be loving life. You can't wait till 2, I bet. And you're like, you're right.
Actually,
I mean, this
is
one of those really cool days where this is a get-to job, right? We get to come in and talk about the Commanders. Let's get to our Nats game day weather before we get out of here. Set the table for the Nats who are at Nationals Park. Some of you getting ready to get to the ballpark right now. Game day weather presented by Pepco. Storm season's here. We know a little prep makes a big difference. Get storm informed. Pepco.com/stormprep.
It's been a wet and dreary day back in the Navy Yard in D.C. Should be periods of rain throughout the early portions of the game, but I think they'll get through it. 69 degrees at first pitch.
Nice.
But they should get through the game as the night goes on.
Thank you, Darius Dammer, show meteorologist for Thommy, who made it happen out here
Thommy.
For us.
Thommy.
Casino.
Yeah, it's Thommy.
For our guys, Kondori and Murad, and their entire crew we were kicking it with. For Darius, Ryan, Amac, the production behind the scenes the last couple of days. And for Danny, I'm Grant, saying so long on a victory Tuesday. Yeah, you heard that right.
A victory Tuesday.
That's a victory Tuesday. We'll let Hall & Oates play out. Grant and Danny saying so long. We're back at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
Thank you for coming.